Death on Account, written by Margaret York and read by Mike Rogers.
Chapter 1. He heard her key in the door. The body sprawled on the floor, arms spread, blood seeping from a bullet wound in the head. Two women and a man, frozen in shock, huddled against the wall away from the masked gunman. The dead man lay at their feet. He had been shot first in the stomach, and then, when he lay groaning on the ground, in the head. Robbie could not wait to find out what happened next. He switched channels on the television set, and when she came into the room, he was apparently absorbed by a current events program. He did not look away from the screen when she entered. Isabel, stepping on high heels, crossed the room and adjusted the volume control. She tweaked one of the heavy silk curtains, which was not hanging straight. "Well," she said, "I can see you've had a profitable evening." Robbie glanced at his wife. He looked at her plump neck, the skin crepey now and red, but the flesh solid, and imagined the pneumatic feel of her rounded shoulders under his hands. What would it be like to take that coarse neck between his fingers and squeeze it? He stared at her, imagining the look of incredulous horror that would fill her ice-blue eyes as she realized his intentions. They would start to protrude from their sockets. Her face would suffuse with color, and at last she would go limp, fall away from him, be silenced forever. It would be wonderful. But none of this happened. "Yours was obviously a success," he said. She was still wound up, color high and cold eyes bright. "As if you cared," Isabel replied. Robbie didn't. But if he could endure her barbs and refrain from planting any of his own, she might soon go up to bed and he would be able to switch the television back to the thriller without missing much of the action. Isabel Robinson had been supervising a charity fashion show at the Crown Hotel. And when it was over, she had spent some time in the hotel bar with the other organisers. She owned a dress shop, Caprice, in Harbington's High Street, and had supplied the garments for the display. "You'll have got some new customers," Robbie said. "And publicity, I dare say."
"I should hope so. I'd hardly bother otherwise," said Isabel. "Bring in the dresses."
"But you'll have to take them back to the shop in the morning," Robbie protested. "Why not leave them?"
"They might be stolen, and they'd certainly get crushed," said Isabel. "I never leave stock out at night. You know that."
So Robbie carried in 30 or more outfits and arranged them around the dining room, some spread across the table and others hanging from the door, while Isabel made herself tea in the kitchen and while the television thriller continued unseen upon its way. Then he put Isabel's new golf car away in the garage and locked it. He brought the keys in and put them on a hook in the kitchen. Isabel took her tea upstairs. Robbie heard her heavy tread ascending, then the bedroom door closing. He went back to the sitting room and switched channels. The thriller was just ending, and he was in time to see a police car halt, tires screaming. Two policemen sprang from it and raced towards a distant figure fleeing along a quayside. There were shots, a scream, then a splash as a body fell into the water. Robbie's pale face was intent as he watched. Crime didn't pay. The perpetrators were very often caught. But it made exciting viewing. It was nearly midnight when he went to bed. First, he prepared a tray for Isabel's morning tea. By taking this up to her each day, he delayed her arrival downstairs until it was time for him to leave for the bank. He ate his own breakfast in peace, cereal and toast, while watching the birds disporting themselves on the table he had made for them outside the kitchen window. He put crumbs out for them before eating himself. Tits, finches, humble sparrows, all were welcome.